Good morning. My name is Justin, and this is my story. I am a work in progress. I am unfinished. I am some way along a journey and have not yet arrived. And as a result of that, from time to time, I feel incomplete. I maybe even feel unworthy or inadequate or not good enough. Maybe I'm not alone in feeling that way sometimes. And isn't this the amazing message of the cross? That even though I was incomplete and make mistakes and in some way am inadequate, Jesus still chose to die for me in order to bring me home with a robe on my back, with a whole cow on the barbecue, with the sound of music and dancing in the air. In fact, not in spite of my weaknesses, but because of my weaknesses, Jesus Christ did all of that for me. I work in education and in international development. I have school leadership roles and education advisory roles, depending on where I am in the world. I'm currently in Croydon. I support a comprehensive school in New Addington, where the school has been under special measures. There is a new head teacher who, with his team, is seeking to turn that school around, and I am there for this year to advise and support that new leadership team. It's a tough school, and we have a very international group of students who are significantly challenging and from very deprived and difficult backgrounds. I began my teaching career in the north of England. I worked in three different schools in Lancashire and Yorkshire. And after a while, I came south. I moved to Essex, don't tell anyone, in pursuit of a relationship that ultimately didn't work out. And I spent quite a lot of time rather sad about that and quite angry. I immersed myself in my career. I took rapid steps up the ladder in education and became deputy head of a large and, again, difficult comprehensive school in Basildon. Basildon is in South Essex, and it has a demographic somewhat similar to that of Croydon. It's a similar sort of place. After several years there, I took my career internationally, and I first worked in West Africa, where I worked for the government of the Gambia. And in the Gambia, I was in the Ministry of Education, and I was supporting a team of local people, of Gambian people, who were devising and writing national education strategy for that country. And so I lived in the Gambia. I lived in a noisy, polluted, densely populated urban area called Latrakunda. I was the only white guy in the district. I was the only Christian amongst thousands of Muslim people. And of course, some of them became my friends, and one or two of them I'm still in touch with. Some years after I left the Gambia, one of my closest friends, a guy called Ibrahima, became a Christian. I don't know if it was much to do with me. It was some years later. But that's a very bold and courageous thing for a Gambian Muslim to do. And he now works as a Christian missionary alongside an international organization. He is a missionary within his own country. And as I say, that is courageous, it is risky, and he experiences a good deal of rejection because of that decision that he has made. After working in West Africa, I went to South America. I was recruited as principal of a 3-18 private school in Santiago, Chile. Chile is a fascinating country. The legacy of the Pinochet dictatorship affects the national psyche and certainly affects how people view leadership. So that's interesting as a foreign person leading an organization there. That was quite interesting. Chile is also prone to earthquakes. We had regular tremors. In fact, we never had fire practice at school. We had earthquake practice. It was much more relevant and much more likely to happen. And notably, among the earth tremors we got was the 2010 quake of magnitude 8.8, which did a lot of damage in the country and killed a lot of people, and remains one of the biggest earthquakes ever recorded. And the third thing about Chile is that it's an intensely Catholic country. So most of my colleagues and neighbors were from very Catholic backgrounds, and I found it interesting to talk to those people and understand some of the similarities and some of the differences in the way that they would view their faith and their faith journey, and the way that I've had my faith journey through churches like this one. And now I'm back in the UK for the time being, and for this year I'm here in Croydon, and I found my way in the autumn to this church, and I've enjoyed getting involved and playing some music, and thank you to all of those who have offered me a welcome here. Thank you. The thing that blows me away about Jesus' love for me is not so much that he died for me when I was incomplete and inadequate. It's not so much that he accepts me as I am, although that is wonderfully affirming. What I see as the amazing thing about Jesus' love for me is that it goes on. He's not interested just in my conversion experience, but he's interested in my whole journey after that. For me, the exciting thing about the Christian life is actually not the moment of conversion, although that is a big deal. It's everything that happens afterwards. For me, conversion is I'm facing this way, and I turn, and I face this way, and I'm looking down a different road. I'm looking at a different journey ahead of me. That's the conversion. That's becoming a Christian. But the exciting bit for me is not becoming a Christian, it's becoming a disciple. And becoming a disciple is then taking steps down that road and walking down that road with Jesus, if you like, and to some extent putting aside the things of the former way and embracing this road. For me, becoming a disciple is just as exciting, more exciting, than becoming a Christian. In his death, Jesus restores my relationship with the one who made me. The creator of the universe is bothered about me. He wants me in his family. And as time goes on, I become more and more sure of his love for me and for who I am. There's nothing that God likes more than when I draw close to him. I climb up into his lap and rest in his embrace, and I can sense his eternal heartbeat and feel the gentle rise and fall of his deep, slow breaths and hear his reassuring voice. Justin, I love you. I truly love you. Without condition. And in that moment I know that he is the one who is faithful to me.